So hello, everybody, and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. This is Turning Towards Life, and we are here for our 436th week. And the reason I'm making a deal out of that, Lizzie, is as the number of weeks goes up, and it's a lot of weeks and a lot of years we've been doing this, I'm feeling very respectful of and glad for and appreciative of what it is to be in an intentional practice together. And this is practice. So welcome to you, Lizzie, to our Sunday morning practice. And welcome to all of you who are with us. We know there are many, many of you who listen, some of you who listen or watch every week, others of you who dip in when your life circumstances call for it, when you want to learn something or want to feel held in a deep enough conversation. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. And we are in a moment going to do what we do every time with this practice. Lizzie, you have brought us a source, a piece of text, which is going to flow into our conversation at the start. You and I will read it. And then we're going to be in a practice of unhurried, unfolding conversation. But one of the things I love about this, Lizzie, is we have no idea where it's going to go, but the practice of slowing down and waiting and listening and then attending to what arises inside us always allows for something real and significant and meaningful and surprising. So it's a lovely way to talk, and it's a lovely way, I think, a very rich way to share conversation with other people. I'm really glad you're here and I'm here. And because it is mid-February 2026 and we have just finished the first season of our Turning Towards Life live program, where we bring this practice into a group of people who meet monthly and talk this way with one another every month with a rich source with us. We've just finished season one of that, and we're about to embark on season two, which begins on the 4th of March. And I know you and I will be there, Lizzie, but if any of the rest of you who have not thought about joining us yet would like to or would like to find out more, head over to turningtowards.life. And there's a link there that you can click on to find all about it. You can also find out about the Third Space annual year-long professional coaching course. There's a whole link there with you and I talking about it, Lizzie, in multiple different ways. And that begins in July. And you can support us and contact us in various ways there too. People buy us cups of coffee. We've had some lovely emails this week from some of you who decided that you wanted to be in conversation with us and share your experience. It's all easy to do from there, turningtowards.life. And I think that's enough preamble, Lizzie. I'm glad you and I are here. We have another conversation to have.
I like that word preamble, because it's really true. It's the bit before the amble, and we're definitely ambling. So this source, Justin, that we're bringing today is repeatedly moving me. I heard it as a song by the wonderful Mamuz and looked up the lyrics, and these are the lyrics to their wonderful song, which I think is called I'm Home in the Holy. And that's the first line of the lyrics. I was just thinking, Justin, I had a funny thing this week as well where someone said to me, oh my gosh, I was listening to this really good podcast this week, and I started talking and they said, hold on a second, it was your podcast. Funny moment where they realized that the thing that they were referencing was something from our conversation. And so again, I'm so grateful that however we're being, whatever we're doing, whatever this is to everyone, that it's making its way into conversation that's helpful and productive in some way in everyone's journeys. And it's really, I love every piece of evidence we have of that. And as you say, all the emails too. And this song by Mamuz, it just feels like a genuine part of the conversation. I don't know if you feel this, Justin, but when I landed on this source, and of course I'm always on the lookout, like Turning Towards Life is a central part of my perception of life, like, ooh, what's going to be a good thing for us kind of thing. And sometimes they land and I think, this is the thing, this is us, this is an expression of the whole right here. And this is one of those ones. So I want to appreciate everyone for being here, for being part of the conversation. And also, I want to give a shout out to those ones on Turning Towards Life Live at the moment, because we did this source in that group on Wednesday and everyone got a chance to reflect on it. So I want to just name as well that this source is having a double life, which sometimes happens by mistake on Turning Towards Life, mainly because of me not remembering what we've done before. But also, it deserves two goes as well, because it's such a wonderful source. And I want to thank the ones who are Mamus for being the ones that they are, that they would bring this to life in this way. This feeling, this conjuring from this song that they've made. So, Justin, I'm going to read, and then we'll hear from you, and then we'll see where we amble. So here we go. I am home in the holy. I'm stepping in fully to the shift, to the change, to the ground that's holding me. I'm alive to the midnight, wide-eyed in the twilight, giving up, giving in, giving over to the mystery. May my life be an offering to serve our mutual flourishing. We are in the care of one another. I keep my inner fires burning, fuel the passion and the yearning to give these gifts to keep on learning without end.
Thank you, Lissy. Going to read it too, and then also say the song is wonderful, and we will post a link to Mamuse and to their performance of this song in the show notes on our website and on YouTube and in the podcast. And the show notes are always full of references and links and connections, so they're worth having a look at, particularly for something like this. And this is I'm Home in the Holy, the lyrics to the song by Mamuse. I am home in the holy. I'm stepping in fully to the shift, to the change, to the ground that's holding me. I'm alive to the midnight, wide-eyed in the twilight, giving up, giving in, giving over to the mystery. May my life be an offering to serve our mutual flourishing. We are in the care of one another. I keep my inner fires burning, fuel the passion and the yearning to give these gifts to keep on learning without end.
Thank you, Justin. There's no wasted space in this piece of music, lyrics, writing. And every single line feels like it could be the beginning of a massive conversation. And so I'm having to start somewhere where I feel like I can start, but I don't really know where to start, is the truth. And I think this is why I felt so strongly about it being a source for here, Justin, because it has so much of our, I feel seen by it in our practices, in our way of being in the world, and the things we long for ourselves and others, and the spaces that we make, and the things that we feel passionately about in the world. And so I am having to select out of many places where to begin. And I think I'm going to start with, may my life be an offering to our mutual, to serve our mutual flourishing. We're in the care of one another. And these lines to me, in some way, I experience them as like upside down, like the other way around in my own path, which is when we're in the care of one another, we really do get to see our mutual flourishing, and then our lives can become an offering. And I think that's the, in a way, the path of all of the things that we are teaching too, is that we are dedicated to creating community. We're dedicated to mutuality, like that power dynamic of us being together alongside one another, both having a full voice, both having a full presence, both having a way of speaking that's in service of the other, but that also comes from our own life force, our own wisdom, our own compassion. And then in that process, because of that mutual flourishing, we get to be an offering into the world. Our lives become an offering. And then we go back down the order again. So my life becomes an offering to serve our mutual flourishing. And in order to do that, we have to be cared for by one another. And that's what I mean by feeling seen by this. It's such a beautiful, central, important thing, especially in the way the world is today, that that's the thing that we're doing and that's the thing that we feel most dedicated to. And that's in some way that those three lines are an expression of turning towards life, in that we want this to be an offering into the world. And there's definitely mutual flourishingness about you and I being here. And hopefully that mutuality then is in the concentric circles of our community, which I think it is from the things that we get told. And truly, we are in the care of one another in order to be able to do this. So the kind of safety that gets made by, just as you were saying before in the beautiful preambleness, when we get to finish what we want to say and to be unhurried and to feel like we can say the thing that is here to say when we don't even know what it is yet. I didn't know it was going to say all of this. But the safety and the relationship and being in your care, in everybody's care, in the community's care, is an invitation to the saying and to the feeling into the new ground that this language is making for me. So I'm amazed at the way that this is moving me and seeing me and you and all of us doing what we're doing in this way of being in conversation, in an unhurried, listening kind of slower way that really allows one another to receive and is an affordance for expression and being heard and our voices really mattering to one another.
When you were reading earlier, Lizzie, I highlighted we are in the care of one another, because I thought that might be where I might start. And partly I'm thinking about, as you're talking, about how much of that there is in the world. When I look around, I see people who do this all the time, who know themselves as in the care of one another and act in that way. The world is full of it. In families, in communities, in friendships, between strangers, in hospitals, in companies sometimes. But I highlighted it because it seemed so at odds with the public narratives that we're living in this time, which seemed to me to be so many of them highlighting the opposite to this political narratives particularly, but also the narratives of technology, the idea that what we might be here to do is to take care of one another so easily gets dismissed as a sort of distraction from the real work. And I think it is the real work and is greatly undervalued. It's not monetarily valued often at all in our culture. So I was very glad to have this in here. And I was also drawn today to this middle verse because I wanted, in a way, I wanted to rewrite this. I'll tell you how and why. I wanted to make a subtle shift to the whole thing because I noticed how much it would meet my life now to put may it be the case that sentiment at the start of every line. So what I wanted to say is may I be at home in the holy. Mm-hmm. May I step in fully to the shift, to the ground that's holding me. May I be alive to the midnight. May I give up and give in and give over to the mystery. And may I keep my inner fires burning and get there. Because when I listen to my muse, and it is wonderful to listen to them, I can hear the truth of what they're singing, that it's being sung out of a place where this is true. And I also recognize how often, and actually maybe particularly now in these particular days, it's harder for me to say that this is the case. I'm in the midst of carrying many tender things, and I can feel distant from this. So I notice when I say it then as a, I am, somehow it's jarring to me, because maybe today I'm really not. Maybe today it's the furthest thing from what I feel. And I've learned not to, to try and force things inside me. I've learned not to go, I'm feeling sad. I wish I didn't feel sad. I am feeling happy. Like that kind of, it feels like a kind of cruelty to do that. This isn't about happiness anyway. This is about something much, much deeper. But to say, may I, to express an intention, to express a longing, which includes the longing for us to be in the care of one another, it seems to me, and I'm sure that that is the intention of this song, that it's an invitation in that way, to name it in that way is an inherently, let me just see if I can find good language for this, hopeful, sanctifying move to say, I might be in the middle of who knows what. I might be feeling really far from these possibilities, but if I can say it almost like a blessing or an invitation or a possibility that the world might be other than the way it is now, the way I'm experiencing now, it feels to me like a huge doorway opens in my heart. And then I can sit with you feeling an enormous amount today of tenderness and various different kinds of grief, and then I can say to you, may I, Lizzie, be at home in the holy. And then this thing I'm in the middle of then becomes a way of being at home in the holy. I can start to say to myself, how does this grief and tenderness be a way of being at home in the holy? How indeed might this grief and tenderness be a way that I can participate in taking care of one another, rather than a way of withdrawing from the world? So I then feel so invited to bringing everything that I am and everything that is in service of these intentions.
Mm.
I wanted to say a little bit, you and I were talking about this the other day when we first started talking about this source. It was very alive in me about the difference between affirming something as if it were true when it doesn't really feel true, and holding something as an invitation or a doorway or a possibility to live into. And that, I think, is so important for us humans, maybe particularly when we feel overwhelmed by circumstance or overwhelmed by the complexity of the world, to be able to say this to one another.
Mm-hmm.
By way of inviting one another into what might be partially here but may not yet fully be. And I sort of worry that we lose that in the world unless we remember this kind of language.
Yeah, I've been feeling recently how many of us, so this is a funny thing. So I of course I know what it is to feel a lack of joy and playfulness in my life. I know what that is. And I also know what it is to feel extremely joyful and extremely playful a lot of the time. And what I'm realizing these days is that as I share the thing of really cultivation of joy and cultivation of playfulness in my life, so many people feel lost from it. And such a lovely thing that you're saying, Justin, that these things can be, that like it's possible to be invited and to make invitations. And you said at the end there that when something's kind of out of view, it's not that we don't have it or something. It's just that we lose contact with it, or that we lose capacity for it somehow, or we get drowned with our circumstances or whatever. But these days I feel so faithful to and trusting that joy, the capacity for joy, exists in every single human being. The capacity for play, the kind of inner longing for being wide-eyed in the twilight and alive to the midnight. You know, that is a human thing. It's not a personality thing. It's not a, oh yeah, that's a happy person and that's a not happy person or something. It's like, no, each person, there's playfulness and joy and childlikeness in each of us that is life-bringing and life-affirming and life-aliveness-making. And I'm wondering if this is, you know, we mentioned the other day as well, Justin, this kind of the feeling of incantation, like we're singing something, and please everybody go and listen to this song. It's so brilliant. But there's a call in it. There's a call to joy. There's a call to wholeness, a call to aliveness inside of it, but aliveness in the context of all of us and our togetherness and how we bring each other forth in the world. And this is these lyrics are the energy of that. It's a very truthful place. And the ground is holding us. You know, even if I can't feel that today, it is true that the ground is holding me. And I can create relationship to the ground because I'm a human being and I can cultivate things. I can create relationship to the ground where I recognize that it's holding me. I can sit here and I can feel my feet on the ground, and I can, instead of being completely asleep to the fact that I have feet, let alone that they're on the ground, I can remember and I can take this invitation seriously to recognize that the ground is holding me, that gravity is holding me on the earth. I'm not flying off like a balloon. I'm here and I can feel the earth beneath my feet. And I also can keep my inner fires burning. And there is a passion in me and there is a yearning in me. And that kind of recovery and uncovering, re-uncovering maybe, of those fires, of that inner energy that fuels my direction in the world, or the things, allowing myself to admit what I long for, and then feeling wanting in me, feeling desire in me, feeling that kind of aliveness. I feel so grateful that there are ones who declare this for themselves, and then we can be invited into it, so that we can remember. We get to remember because other people are singing the song of that remembrance. So I'm feeling very, and that is also right next to this community feeling. And I know I have that for myself. As soon as we get into a group, Justin, and I see everyone's faces and I feel everyone's presence, this kind of passion arises in me for our togetherness and our mutuality and the power of being together in life and being in conversation and finding our unfolding and not being alone and ruminating in our own kind of funk, but actually sharing that funk with other people and letting it fight, like energetically finding its way through and out and in to life, rather than kind of festering on the inside. And I think that's part of what I'm recognizing is just a deep, obvious, straightforward commitment of my life, is that it is just really excellent and very way better for us to be in community with one another and being honest with one another and sharing and telling each other our stories and being this life of offering for mutual flourishing. I just don't know what else there is to do in some ways. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, that seems to be this last paragraph, this is the fuel for the passion and the yearning so that our gifts can be given. Like, in some ways, what are we here for? And if it's not to bring the thing we got brought here to bring, and how do we do that? With other human beings. So it is without end. And in order for this to all be happening, of course, learning is the thing. I'm just learning all the time. And this song is a big learning for me. It's made new territory. It's made something else available to articulate and put language to this feeling of aliveness and being alive in the world.
Yeah, I was thinking lots of things whilst you were talking, Lizzie, but one one of the ones I'm thinking now is about community and about one another. So it struck me that a lot of this moment in time in early 2026, I think we live in a time when then there's an enormous amplification of very certain sounding voices in our public sphere that will tell us to be afraid of one another, to be suspicious of one another, to banish one another, to hate those who are different, particularly if you're in the groups of people who tended to have more power in a culture. And those voices are also voices of incantation. They are saying, may we make ourselves feel safe by hating and banishing the other. And they're also kind of a way of making community, because if you and I can unite ourselves around our dislike of someone else and make sure they go away, it can give a sort of sense of, well, we're in this together. But what's absent from it, so it has community in it, or at least it has relationship in it. It doesn't have community in it. What it doesn't have is the sense that that to be a human is to take care of one another, and it doesn't have the holy in it, in this sense, in the sense of the wonder and the sacredness of all life. And what I was also thinking about whilst you were talking, Lizzie, is the power of the language we bring one another. So I feel quite allergic to, I said this to you the other day when we were talking about this, I feel quite allergic to the language of affirmations, that I should have a notepad at home. And when I wake up feeling worried, I go, I am strong, I am beautiful, I am free, I am happy, I am. Partly because I think it lacks that sense of invitation, that these are things that may not yet be the case, but that we long for and aspire to and may come about in all kinds of ways. But I'm also a bit allergic to them because they're so self-centered. Mm. They isolate us. Well, may I, like it's only about me. Here, we get invited by my muse, and here I get invited by you, by being in conversation with you. And I think that's one of the senses of the kinds of gatherings of people that feel to me like they have enormous power for good in the world, for healing in the world, also for finding our own and one another's dignity and holiness and wonder, and our capacity to learn come from making invitations to one another that call to the possibility of that which is alive in each of us and that which is sacred in each of us. And it's the opposite of calling to one another's hate and fear. It's the opposite of it. And like you said, what it can also do is it can help us be willing to go, I am grief-filled today. I am frightened today. I am shaky today. And to have other people around who will recognize that in the midst of what seems to be unchangeable worry, there is nevertheless holiness and sacredness and ground here upon which we can stand. It's like you were talking about remembering earlier, that we can call one another into remembering the possibilities of being a human and the dignity of being a human and the sacredness of being a human, which is what these words do so well. And in a world where we very easily feel isolated, where we feel like we have to muster all of this on our own, sometimes actually what it takes is another person to look at us like you're looking at me now and I'm looking at you now and saying, you matter, it matters that you're here, you are sacred. And then to hold out possibilities for one another that might yet come to be. And I think that's why talking to one another in this way really matters. It's different from, I love to read on my own. I love time on my own. It's very important to me. But I notice why 436 weeks into getting up in a Sunday morning and being ready, 436 weeks, Lizzie, why am I sitting here talking to you for the 436th time? Well, among other things, because I know that having this kind of conversation reminds me of what it is to be a human and how sacred it is to be human, even when I'm feeling, maybe especially when I'm feeling grief-stricken, confused, hopeless, that there is something else that can be remembered. Here's the thing, I'm glad I'm finding my way to it, that can be remembered that is true alongside, not instead of, alongside all of the grief and the worry, and alongside that is sacredness and holiness and the ground that's holding me. So it's the and this is true, or and this may yet be true, rather than all the sort of rigid certainty and forcing ourselves that we get into.
Just thinking that's exactly what the invitation of Turning Towards Life Live is as well. You know, I think a lot of us do just live way more isolated lives than is humane to ourselves. And this invitation for us all to be in these kinds of conversations as practice, not as a way to get out of what we're in or make everything better, like you're saying, in some kind of rigid way. It's a much more subtle thing than that. We're not problems to be fixed and situations to be gone, awayed. It's different than that. And when we gather and when we feel connections, and I think that's part of the gift of Turning Towards Life for me, Justin, is that when we do get those emails and we do sense into the community of ones around who are listening, just to feel that connection, just one email, it just brings my heart alive and I'm feeling way less small than I was before because I'm connected to Margaret in Canada or Beth in Florida or that group of people in Beijing who gather. It's like there's something bigger and I think, oh, well, I'm just not as separate as I thought I was. And so the non-separateness finding its way to be actual and real when we talk to one another and we look at one another and we share with one another and we're straightforward with one another and we're honest, whatever else is happening, because of course all of our lives are a mess if we're really honest, whatever that mess is, our togetherness is how to be able to hold that mess and to find our way through it and to not be completely shredded by it, but to find our wholeness because of it in lots of ways as well. For those openings, like this grief you're speaking of, to be part of the way that our lives are substantiated, that we are made substantial by these things that happen to us, these griefs that we feel, the pain and difficulty, that is part of our unfolding and our substantialness being made, feels made possible because we can be together in our lives, really genuinely, and not in some fixing each other way or making everything okay. And so I'm really, really feeling grateful to this source for generating this conversation, for being the thing that shot us in these directions. And grateful for Mamuse as well, who, of course, as we know, Justin, have songs of all kinds of depth and breadth and content, and their lives are an offering for our mutual flourishing. And so this is also a big invitation to go and find them and listen and feel all of their wonderful creation and creativity. And just another shout out to, if anybody wants to join us for Turning Towards Life Live, we're beginning soon in the beginning of March 2026. And just to say thank you as well to you, Justin, for always receiving the source and always being open and wandering in alive ways, where I think you, it seems to me anyway, you also have to kind of let go of what you were going to say and respond to something in what I've said too. And I think that openness is certainly how I feel too. Like I think, oh, I that's a crazy place we just went and I'm going to respond there instead of say the thing I want to say. So I'm grateful for the relationship and the kind of the invitations that we are to one another as well. And thank you everybody for being here. It's very wonderful that you are, and we'll see you next time.